This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
What's up and welcome back to Star Wars News. We're breaking down all the latest in the galaxy, as well as some fun anniversaries that we have today. I'm Steph Sabrat, aka Chewbacca's long-lost daughter. I'm joined by my favorite co-pilot ever, Ryan Nelson, head of Popcorn Talk in the house.
Thank you so much. It is the anniversary, Steph. The anniversary of Empire Strikes Back. Shout out to Empire. How is your week going?
Good. Did you hear that today's the day that I'm finally letting you know that I'm your father?
Oh, you're my...
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
40 years ago today.
I consulted with your birth mother, yeah.
Yeah, we weren't alive. We weren't alive when that thing came out. Can you imagine? Can you imagine like 40 years from today, there's going to be a plague? No. No. But
how's everything?
Everything's awesome. Star Wars is what's keeping us going over here. It's definitely been busy. It's been a lot. But last night I turned on Empire and watched a couple.
You did?
Yeah, I think I watched like a half hour because Kevin Smith, who's like big in the talk space, big Star Wars fan, he did like a watch along, and I usually don't watch a lot of watch alongs, but I watched that one and it was so awesome. Oh my gosh, Steph, we got tons of people in the chat right now. Shout out to Brandon Hanna. Schmodown's Brandon Hanna, who did participate in our meme game. That's coming up later. And of course, Laura is in the chat, as well as Darth.
Laura Nelson.
So guys, comment your thoughts on everything we're going to be covering throughout. I'll shout you out.
Okay, cool. Let's jump right in. I think the biggest news announcement today, or this week, was Timothy Oliphant has been... rumored to be casted in Mandalorian Season 2 wearing Boba Fett's armor, but obviously not playing Boba Fett, as we know that role has been casted. Mm. Ryan, what are your thoughts about this?
Timothy Oliphant, I think, is awesome. There's been so much coming out about Mandalorian Season 2 over the past week. I get excited every time I read something. I'm a little worried we're getting too much about this movie. Like, is anything a surprise? But, I mean, this guy, he was in Justified. I think I got a photo right here. Boom. I'm going to pretend to be him.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He is great. But
he's a really good bad guy.
Oh, yeah? I feel like
he's like
the pretty boy.
Sneaky.
A little sneaky.
Yeah, but I know, but those are sometimes the best bad guys, Rye, because you think that they're cute and they suck you in with their face.
Is that what happens?
Yeah, that's exactly what happens.
But I mean, Justified was a Western-type show, and Mandalorian is definitely like a space Western. I think it'll fit right in. I don't know how I feel about this whole I'm wearing Boba Fett's armor. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, it does make me feel a little bit better about the whole... I don't know. I feel like I get where he could be wearing the armor, that there's speculation that it's picked up from the Jawas, and that was taken from the last point it was seen, which was the Sarlacc pit. Mm. So it would tie in some loops for me that I appreciate. But I agree with you where I don't know if I like all the news that's been coming out of it. And I also am the person who likes when they do bring into new people that you wouldn't really expect. I know he's not like I think he would still count under that line, but he is a very, very established actor. So they have a ton of established actors. I'd love to see some new faces that we haven't necessarily heard of, like Ming-Na Wen when that was announced.
So and last week when we found out that Boba Fett was even going to be in Season 2, you weren't really sold on that whole idea, like, how did he survive? It still might only be flashbacks. What do you think the storyline is here? Because we know Oliphant has Boba Fett's armor. Do you think maybe we get flashbacks with young Mando kind of knowing Boba Fett, and then it's today Mando when he finds this guy in his armor, and he's like, whoa, what the heck? Like, do you think this is a side story where maybe Mando's trying to get the armor back, or do you think Boba Fett's trying to get the armor back.
Yeah, I think it could be a, I think it could be a side story for sure. I think that would make a little bit more sense and play into our original idea that it might be more of a flashback type character and then see him as Captain Rex instead. But I'm not exactly sure. I think that time will tell with that.
Yeah, I'm a little... I wish I didn't know this detail. That's the thing, is I'm loving the casting announcements. So cool. And yeah, some casting is spoilerific. But now that we know Boba Fett's going to be in the season, and we know that he has his armor, it's like we can start to kind of connect the dots of some of the plot lines, or at least guess or surmise a few of them. So I hope that these leaks don't keep coming out at this consistent of a rate. It's great to talk about, but I just feel like we're going to learn everything about the season.
Yeah, I think it's because there's not really much else to report about right now. So when they do have a show that's already, like, they're already done filming, I assume, for this next season, right?
Yeah.
So they probably have a lot that they can disclose and not a lot with new projects.
I think you're right. A lot of people in the chat sharing their opinion. Rob K saying, Olyphant is cool, funny guy. It sounds like you know him. Brandon Hanna, at this point, they should just tell us who's not in the cast of Mandalorian. I agree. Everyone seems to be in season two. Espionage Joker, Timothy was the best killer from the Scream franchise. This emoji. And Darth Baca, here we go. Yeah, man, here we go.
Shout out to everyone in the chat. You guys rock. But this is an interesting conversation I want to have with the chat, because we did talk about in the beginning of this episode how it's a lot of anniversaries for Star Wars. Obviously, today's Empire Strikes Back, and then I believe on Monday or on the 18th, it was 21 anniversary of Phantom Menace. Those are obviously two way different films in terms of perception and fan reception. What is, do you have like a huge difference in the way you love one over the other?
It's funny because I feel like, so all the prequels must have came out within the same week of release when they were coming out in the summer, and same with Empire Strikes Back. When Attack of the Clones anniversary was trending on Twitter, I was kind of reminiscing about certain moments. I mean, that movie is probably the most criticized of the whole franchise, maybe next to Phantom Menace, but there's still so many moments I love. Like I was sharing, I think Popcorn Talk had a poll, like, what was your favorite moment from Attack of the Clones? And I honestly think mine's when Yoda fights Count Dooku at the end. And it's like this master-apprentice face-off, and there's just all that history there. And Yoda pulls out the lightsaber, and you're like, oh my gosh, Yoda has a lightsaber. So I was reminiscent of the prequels, whereas with the originals, like Empire Today and last night, I was like, man, this is just perfection. Like, you can see how many movies from like Avengers Endgame to any drama, really, how that's influenced.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, because we're rewatching Lord of the Rings here, and my friend Amy was talking about how she's noticed that so many things have been taken from Lord of the Rings now that she's seen it, like specifically Harry Potter, and how she's always like, that's always talked about with Star Wars, but I do think Empire Strikes Back set a precedent for all sequels moving forward, because in a lot of ways it surpassed the first.
Yeah, it's such a, I mean, it's one of the best movies. It's the only Star Wars movie I think you could just pop on and enjoy if you haven't, and understand if you haven't seen the one before it, which is so rare for a lot of sequels. Because I feel like, you know, when you think about like Indiana Jones or the James Bond movies that were coming out during that time, the sequels usually had next to nothing to do with the one before it. Whereas this was a same universe. It's like, here are all these people you know, and like we're going to fill in the blanks of the time that took place in between, and here we go. And now that's common for every movie, like all the Marvel movies.
Yeah. So on Phantom Menace, I like Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
I thought it was a fun movie, and there's a lot of classic scenes in there that I still, and we talked about that last week, that I still like to play back.
What is the favorite scene? Other, take the lightsaber fight out. What's the scene you like to play back?
Well, I love the whole pod racing, and that's why I want to play the game. That is the whole part of him building it, and like the him competing with a bunch of assholes is one of my favorite scenes. As like a little kid, that's so hard to be just beating on old men.
Excuse me? Excuse me? What was that? Repeat that back one more time. You broke up there. Yeah, it's a little kid.
I said what I said.
Good God. Yeah, that's a great scene. I think there's a lot of cool stuff in Phantom Menace. Like, the effects are great. The things that are more hard for me are, like, the Jar Jar scenes. But, like, everything with Qui-Gon, I think is so fun.
I love Qui-Gon.
I know. And we talked about it last week, but, like, Dave Filoni, in one of those Mandalorian behind-the-scenes documentary videos that's on Disney Plus right now, you can check it out, he did this whole thing about Qui-Gon Jinn and Phantom Menace and how important he is. He was Anakin's father figure, and he was, like, one of the last Jedi that's from the old Jedi, and now they're moving into this war, and they all become these soldiers and warriors, and he was basically, like, the last Jedi from that era that was kind of a protector of peace, and we lose him. So we lose the peace and protection. It's rough.
What about Revenge of the Sith for you?
Oh, my gosh. I really like Revenge of the Sith. It's funny. That movie is so dark. People don't highlight how dark that thing is. And, I mean, none of these are perfect movies, but we're fans with open arms. And I like the prequels. And, I mean, Revenge of the Sith, easily my favorite. There's so many great moments, so many incredible scenes, from the Darth Plagueis, the Wise, to the droid attack on the Wookiees, or like Anakin versus Obi-Wan, Yoda versus Palpatine. Like, there's so many great fights. General Grievous, like, come on. There's so, all these awesome characters. A lot of people in the chat are firing off their favorite moments. The Gungan battle. That's what Greg Mostovich. Oh, he says that was lame.
Good choice. Good choice.
Greg Castillo, rip Padme. Yes, rip Padme. Rest in peace. Gone too soon.
Always.
Always. Always. Jango Fett versus Obi-Wan. One of the favorite fight scenes from Brandon Hanna in Attack of the Clones. I love that one. In the rain. Yeah.
Yeah. It was that whole scene leading up to it. There was a really, really good tension where you knew it was going to go down, but you didn't know when.
My favorite one is, I think Boba, he's a kid. He's like, "Dad, look!" Like, he shouts it. He's like, get in the ship, like, get in the car.
That was such good casting. They really do look like son and father, or like clones.
Dude, what if we got that actor on? Who played
That'd
Kid Boba?
That'd be dope.
I forget his name.
Yeah. Oh. Kid Boba is a good rap name, too.
Yeah, I mean, that would be my rap name. His name was Daniel Logan. Nice name.
Daniel Logan. Yeah, nice name. Classic. Good Classic. Actor's name, good IMDb name.
We'll reach out. Tweet at Daniel Logan, guys. Let's get him on board.
Okay, Rye, can you explain the Kylo Ren's lightsaber? Because I know there was a lot of fans, when his lightsaber was first revealed, were asked, talking about the cross part. It's obviously different than ones we've seen, but I guess there's reasonings for that Rye has.
Right. So I think we all remember where we were when the first trailer for Force Awakens came out, and you got to see that crossbar knight sword lightsaber of Kylo Ren's, and we all lost our minds. And to this day, I mean, we've had Stephen Colbert explain the logic of how it works. We've had so many people just gush over this lightsaber. Well, there's a comic series right now, which is called The Rise of Kylo Ren, that's basically shown Kylo's backstory from when he left the Jedi training with Luke to Force Awakens, and it's filling the gaps in between. In the most recent issue, he puts together his lightsaber, and it gets into something really interesting, which involves, like, bleeding a kyber crystal. Lightsabers are made of these kyber crystals, and, you know, every Jedi puts together a lightsaber to complete their training. The way you turn it red, there's red crystals, but you can also bleed any other type of crystal. So if you're turning from, like, good to bad, they can do something to the crystal that makes it bleed red. And apparently Kylo did it, just he went too far. He overdid it. And whenever he tried to turn on his lightsaber, it would just fizzle out. So he made these two ports on the side that kind of let the energy go in. There's a whole explanation for it. I'm trying to explain it. Yeah, it's complicated science.
No, you are explaining
science.
It well. It just goes to show that the men who turn to the dark side are so dramatic. You need your crystal to bleed. That's what you need to make your lightsaber out of, bleeding crystals. Come on.
I know. They're compensating for something. But yeah, it's a, yes. he put in the cross guard, and that allows the excess energy to kind of flow back through. It was a cool explanation. I like when they really think this stuff out and put it on there.
Me too.
It shows some
Me
thought.
Me too. Because that's one where you can tell it was thought out. They didn't make that up after the fact. I feel like they've done with some other things that's happened post the Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah. But that is something like mechanical that's just so cool. And what's really interesting, I always bring up the Clone Wars. I'm like the biggest Clone Wars fan. But I read that book, Ahsoka Tano by E.K. Johnston. And there is a scene where it's the first time ever they explain what bleeding a crystal is in that book. So this is now a consistent thing across platforms from novelization to comics. This whole idea of bleeding a crystal is there. And I think it's really awesome.
Yeah. No, me too. I love the lightsaber lore. I think it's really, really interesting. And that's why I think this next story is interesting about there was supposed to be more scenes where you saw Rey in the process of building her lightsaber. Obviously, in The Rise of Skywalker, we only got that final scene where she pulls out her lightsaber and it's yellow and we kind of see the her original weapon. I forget what that was called.
Her staff.
Yeah, right? Staff. Yeah. Pieces of that with it. So I guess that there actually was way more thought that went into it, and they did want to include more scenes, but they cut it out. Ryan, would you rather have them included that, or are you okay with what we got?
I mean, I kind of wish they included it. I think what's sort of neat, what's interesting about this story when we were reading about it, there's been so much behind the scenes with The Rise of Skywalker. Like, there was another script, they fired the director. This sounds like something that JJ actually planned on including in the movie, and they straight up just cut it out. So that makes me believe, are there deleted scenes out there of her putting this together? I think we have a picture of her with the saber right there. That's at the very end. I think that lightsaber is really cool. I do wish we got to see some of the backstory as to how you put it together. That's something we really haven't seen in a Star Wars movie yet. We haven't seen a Jedi put together his lightsaber. There's a deleted scene in Return of the Jedi of Luke doing it. And now this is the third movie in this franchise, and I guess there's another deleted scene of her doing it. But I would have loved to see that, especially because it's like the first yellow one. Like, man, how cool would that have been? I just don't know where you would fit that in the story, because they're constantly running around in that movie. Would you like to see that scene, Steph?
Yeah, I think so, because I really like that kind of stuff. Like, I like the throwback scenes with Leia and training, and even Leia's training. So I think anything like that where you see the process of it, I think most viewers like to see that, especially when their lightsaber defines them in a lot of ways, and especially for a young Jedi's journey.
Do you think, now we saw her get Leia's lightsaber when she went back to Octu and spoke with Luke. I'm not saying they would have thrown that lightsaber wouldn't have been involved if they included these scenes, but would you have rather them keep that scene or have her build her own? It's hindsight 20, like we're playing Monday morning quarterback here.
So would I have rather her build her own or use the Leia's? That's what you're asking?
Right, because in The Rise of Skywalker, she gets Leia's, and that's a plot point of, like, she would have wanted you to have it. But by the end, she already has her own.
No, I would have rather that.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you think? I think I cherish every Leia moment in The Rise of Skywalker. I wouldn't have wanted them to take anything out.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good. I think for the story they told in Rise of Skywalker, you're right. I think they got to keep that Leia saber moment in there. And
it also made it more of a mystery because you didn't know. There was a moment where you didn't. It just gave more tension. You didn't know what she was going to do. Or what she was going at that moment when you were watching it, you didn't necessarily know what she was retrieving,
and
of rewarding.
And it makes that moment at the end where Kylo and Rey are both have the lightsabers. It's like they each have one of the Skywalker lightsabers, and they're about to face off with the Emperor. So it's...
And if you're going to name it The Rise of Skywalker and decide to give Rey a last name that's Skywalker, it made sense.
Right. Yeah. I think it's really... I think it would have been a cool deleted scene. I don't know if it would have worked for the movie we got at the end of the day, but there's something about watching her make something for herself that I think was missing from that movie.
Yeah. I could see that. No, I think that's a really fair point. They, in this article that was on comicbook.com, they included an excerpt from the author of The Rise of Skywalker novelization, Rae Carson, and they included a quote that said, "She eyed the unfinished lightsaber on her workbench. It wasn't ready yet, and the one she'd painstakingly repaired, Luke's, didn't belong to her. So her quarterstaff would have to suffice as a weapon, which was just fine. It had to serve her well on Jakku for years. In fact, someday, once she had mastered this lightsaber building business, she might design one that felt more like a quarterstaff in her hand, familiar and hefty, two business ends, maybe with a hinge in the middle for portability." So that's cool. I mean, if you do want to see that, you can get that through the book. It's just not in visual.
Well, and what's so funny, a prop master for Rise of Skywalker actually tweeted out like four photos as to how that yellow saber at the end of the movie works. Because we're used to just, like, you hit a button, it ignites or it turns on. This one had some really cool mechanics at, like, the top of the hilt of the lightsaber where it would kind of, like, bleed in and out almost like a Venus flytrap. And it looked really cool. So if you want to look at more of the mechanics as to the yellow one she made, you can check that out on Twitter.
Yeah, it is really cool. Speaking of Twitter, there's been a really fun... This was Ryan's idea. Ryan, you want to explain this meme and what we've done?
Yeah, what we've done. There's been a meme going around this week of my plans and then 2020. And basically you write on the left side my plans and a photo, and then on the right side 2020 and what actually happened. And it's just been this really funny, like, ongoing thing this week on Twitter that everyone is just piling onto. So we actually put a little poll out before the show today, just saying, like, hey guys, like, tweet out your my plans versus 2020, and maybe they'll get featured on the show. Here's an example of one. This is from Revenge of the Sith, which had its anniversary earlier this week. Right there. So it's... Here, I'm going to try to make it full screen. Yeah, it's like my plans, and it's the younglings training.
So sad. Not over it. Never over it.
Anakin ignites his lightsaber.
God.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal. Pretty brutal. But that's an example of one. Brandon Hanna, who's actually in the chat, threw one out there that I love. I'm going to pull it up real quick. He was the first to reply almost instantly. Like, he had this ready to go.
Yeah, that was so quick, Brandon. I don't know... Where'd you pull that from that quick?
It was quick. His was Jango Fett. Oh, here we go.
Savage.
Seeing him, we won't be seeing him again, is what the image on the left says. And then it's Jango Fett getting his head cut off, which is brutal.
Brutal.
Steph, you sent one in, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, you know what? I sent a few in that I think killed it, so...
That you think killed it?
Do you have them up so I can describe the right one?
Yes. I just need 1 minute, so vamp for me.
Okay. So I made a few mainly about Han Solo and Padme because both of them have had tragic moments in Wars galaxy.
I found it.
These
are all
good.
These are all, yeah. Okay. Oh, one of these is shady. One of these is...
I know, I'm sorry.
Oh my goodness. Okay, here, we'll do Padme first.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Put it up right now.
My plans. Us in the field, enjoying life, having a Romeo and Juliet moment. My 2020 shattered, dying of a broken heart. R.I.P.
Yo, R.I.P. That's pretty accurate. That's a pretty accurate description of 2020. Describe your double solo one.
Oh, double solo one.
Here, I'll just.
There's two. Yeah, just do it.
Yeah, I'll reveal it right now. We got.
Okay, so here's my plan. Classic Han Solo. The Han Solo we love and respect. And then 2020 came in with like 14 director's cuts and change of plans. This is what we got.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. That's shady.
Oh,
shots at a
God,
shots
so
at the Ron
good.
Howard Han Solo. And then, this third one might be my favorite.
This one's pretty good.
Yeah, this one.
This is still Han Solo good.
Yeah, right here. You got my plans.
Carbonite Solo.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're frozen.
It kind of feels like we're all in Carbonite.
Yeah. That one's actually really accurate.
That one's really accurate. We also had, I actually replied to one here, sticking with the 40th anniversary of Empire Strikes Back. I went with a scene from Empire Strikes Back. Let's see if I can enlarge it here. We got, if you remember Dak, he's the one that gets in the snowspeeder with Luke, and he goes, "I feel like I could take on the whole Empire myself," and he's all hyped, and then not even 2 minutes later,
yes.
Just gets shot
out
of the sky.
That's savage, right?
Yeah, he... Quick end to him there. Pretty brutal. Whoa, I'm zoomed in.
Brutal, Ryan.
We also had the High Republic respond with one. This is our last one. Which is another one from Empire Strikes Back. We have so many from Empire Strikes Back today. We got Lando and Han meeting up, saying my plans. And then Darth Vader is in your dining room.
Like yeah, they had so much confidence.
Yeah, that was a betrayal. A hard betrayal.
That was bad.
But it's a fun meme game, guys. It's still on Popcorn Talks Twitter, so you can reply with your own My Plans versus 2020. It's a really funny meme going around, and it's perfect for a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah. Fun fact that I read today about Empire Strikes Back, the original budget was $18 million, and by the end they had spent $33 million.
Which is a lot for back then.
Yeah, that's almost double the budget. That is double.
There's a ton. People. that is double. I think they just didn't anticipate. I think the first one was basically an independent film. It was just so creative. It looked like this big epic. I bet they were granted the money, though, pretty easily when they realized, like, this is going to be one of the best sequels of all time. I wonder if they even
good
knew.
Investment.
Really good investment. I heard this, you might have known this story, Steph, but when they were shooting Empire Strikes Back, the famous I'm Your Father scene, no one on set knew that that's what Darth Vader was going to say. Not even David Prowse, who was in the Darth Vader costume. The only person who knew was Mark Hamill and George Lucas, who didn't direct this one or write it, but he was obviously had his voice in there. He told Mark Hamill just a few minutes before, and Mark Hamill was the only one who knew. It's because they ADR'd it later.
What? I didn't know that.
And the line they actually told David Prowse to say was, "Obi-Wan killed your father." That was the line they used. So when Luke does that reaction, that's what he thought Luke was reacting to. And it wasn't until they got to the theater, and Mark Hamill knew this, that it was, "I am your father," which surprised everyone. And if you watch the movie again, you think, like, Obi-Wan killed your father. The way everything is said throughout the rest of the movie, you're like, oh my gosh. Like, they were tricking everyone. It's so interesting.
Yeah. No, that's cool, Rye. I did not know that at all.
Yeah, I learned that watching that that watch along with Kevin Smith and Mark Bernardin. They had just tons of really fun tidbits.
Yeah, I wish you told me about that, but
we did our
you
own watch along.
You win some, you lose some.
Yeah, we did our own watch along for New Hope.
We did. We killed. Well, we had a newcomer with us, but I feel like it wasn't the best experience for her.
Yeah, Haley.
She couldn't focus.
Haley
wasn't focusing.
Haley was not focused. She wasn't into it. I wonder if a good, if you're not a kid, like, what is the first Star Wars movie to show someone who is?
I think Release.
You just gotta get a release order and hope for the best.
And you preface it, you say, listen, this came out in the 70s. You can't expect some crazy, just expect what you would have expected in the 70s. And then you move forward from there. I just think it gives you a way different understanding.
Entirely. Steph, there's a really interesting comment in the chat. This is a joke. It's hashtag release the Phil Lord and Chris Miller cut. Referring to Solo, you know, the biggest news this week was DC's Zack Snyder's cut of Justice League is going to come out on HBO Max, which is a movement that very few people even believed in would even be a possibility, and it's happening. It opens the door for a ton of other possibilities. Could you see something like that happening with Star Wars, whether it be like an Episode 9 Colin Trevorrow cut or a Phil Lord Chris Miller?
Well, there's no way there's a Trevorrow cut, right?
Yeah, he didn't show
I
anything.
Just don't think there's any. Yeah. I don't think they ever will. But I just think Disney's just so crazy about that kind of stuff. I just don't see that ever happening under a Disney
regime.
Under Disney's watch. Yeah.
I have to agree with you. I think Justice League was such a flop, and they've already just changed the direction so much, and Star Wars will never do that. They'll never just restart and with all these movies that they're keeping it like in the same universe. I think there is something interesting to be said though about like the Phil Lord and Chris Miller Solo. They did shoot a movie. Like they shot the majority. It's just, I don't think Solo was as hated as Justice League.
Yeah, because I think that a lot of people weren't checking for Solo like that. I think Solo was a treat. Like, oh, we're going to get this extended story of one of the franchise's most beloved characters. Hell yeah. So here to watch that. But there wasn't as much stake in the game because you're not changing storylines necessarily.
And I also think, you know, those two were straight up fired from the film, whereas Zack Snyder, under really tragic
tragedy.
Yeah, he had to step away, and they just kind of hopped on that scenario and redid the movie with a new guy. I think the circumstances were just so specific and right for this Zack Snyder Justice League cut. It would have to be something like that to ever happen.
Yeah,
again.
And I think because of that exact reason, Rye, is the reason why there was an uproar on Twitter, because it was a situation where you could kind of bully and hope that you get what you want, and it made a little bit more sense circumstantially.
I think you're right. And I just, the idea though that a studio would agree to do like a complete different cut, like that is wild to me. And I just think it opens this can of worms where, you know, Episode 9 was pretty divisive. It satisfied a lot of people, but it was pretty divisive. And they don't have any plans anytime soon of doing anything past that. Is there a world, a quarantine world, where they're not filming many things, where they release, like, different cuts, where we get this Rey lightsaber scene? Or do you think that they're just
sitting
pretty?
Different cuts, but I also think the other difference is that what made Episode 9 weird was that the entire cast, from what they've said, loved it. Like, they left filming thinking that they made the best Star Wars movie yet. And then I think they were shocked to see that it was not received that way. Whereas DC, it seems like, from what all of them have said, they kind of left feeling like something's not, it's not what we kind of thought we were putting out.
That's a great point. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I think it was just the circumstances for Justice League are so different from anything that's happened with Star Wars, even though there's been a lot of stuff that's happened with Star Wars. Nothing was as abhorrent of a disappointment than Justice League, and the idea that they already had all this footage shot. You just got to do some visual effects.
Yeah.
That's not the case with this.
Yeah.
With anything Star
Wars. Exactly. I'm happy for you, though, Ryan. I know you were one of the people campaigning for release of Snyder Cut.
I was. You know, I produced DC Movie News Fridays at 1 p.m., and I've been doing it for over a year. I have been on board that train forever. I know that there's some fans that are kind of, it's like the uglier side of fandom, that say like really bad things about people who aren't in support of that. But I thought it was a really cool movement, and I'm still shocked. I wrote two articles about it. Really awesome. So I'm all about it. And I think it's really great. I know Zack Snyder was even saying on May the 4th, he was tweeting out photos from, I think it was Batman vs. Superman, and from his Snyder Cut. And he just like superimposed lightsabers and Star Wars like ships in the background. So he's a fan. Like, he could do something one day in a galaxy.
He's a cool guy.
Yeah. He's cool.
Yeah, I like how he's handled social media. I mean, he's kind of owned everything in terms of his creation. I think he's handled that entire thing really well.
You're right. Sal Skalicki in the chat says, it would be cool to see a Trevorrow animated Episode 9 film. There's little shorts online of people who already went out and did that. They kind of did like a summary, but I think that'd be kind of neat.
What are the rules with that? Can you actually take characters? Yeah, because can you take characters and make new content with them without owning the characters?
No. I mean, I don't think you can do it and seek a profit, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, if Trevorrow did that, he'd get in
trouble. What about, like, a Harry Potter puppet show?
Ooh.
Like, how does that work? Because they should have been paid millions of dollars.
You're right, they should have. That's an interesting question. Like, if you guys know anything, put it in the chat. But I think that was just kind of a retelling of an existing story. And I don't know if they're making much money, but they did get exposure. So it might have something to do with that.
Yeah. Speaking of the chat, shout out to everyone who's been watching. Make sure you hit that like and subscribe button. And also give us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you're listening to us. 5 stars, and we love the Apple reviews. Those are the best.
They are the best, and we haven't gotten one in a minute. So if you do put one out there, I will read it on air. I'll put on some kind of Star Wars garb and stare in the camera and read it on air.
We will. Yes!
So leave us a review there, guys.
Well, I think that wraps up our news for this week, Rye.
That's right. And you know, like, now that Clone Wars is done, May the 4th is done, I feel like we're in this dry spell where it's like we're going to get some news here and there, but now, like, a lot of the stories visually have already been told. Like, I think it's going to be a while till we get a Mandalorian trailer. So we're going to need to rely on some of this stuff, like the anniversaries, the comics.
Topics. Yeah, if books. There's topics or discussions you guys want to hear, debate about certain things with us, let us know what you guys want to talk about, characters or anything that's happened.
Completely agree. So, yeah, guys, tweet them at us. Again, should we share our Twitter stuff?
Yeah, where can everyone find you?
Oh, I was going to say, we have a show Twitter that we just kind of started up. That's off of the High Republic novels that are supposedly coming. They're going to take place way, way back in a galaxy far, far away. So our Twitter is at Get High Republic. At Get High Republic, so you guys can follow us there. And that will be all the news from this podcast, this show for Popcorn Talk.
I totally forgot about that, but yes, that is, it's going to be lit.
It's going to be lit.
You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. Okay, Ryan, till next week, where can everyone keep up with you?
You guys can keep up with me at Ryan Nilsen, that's R-Y-N-I-L-S-E-N on Twitter, and at Ryan Nilsen on Instagram. Steph, where can they keep up with you?
All over social media at Steph Zabra, on YouTube at youtube.com/StephZabra. And we'll be back next Thursday, every Thursday, 4 p.m. PST at the Popcorn Talk. Until next week, may the force be with you.
May the force be with you.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.